Good morning, everyone. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's another beautiful day to serve the Lord. Thank you, Dwayne, there with your "The Lord is my shepherd." I want to talk a little bit about a shepherd boy this morning. You can turn to 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to take a few. We're not going to be talking about David and Goliath too much, but the title this morning is Inspiration from King David. I have 5 points that I took out of these, some verses here. First Samuel 17, verse 41. I think we all know the story pretty good with David and Goliath. But I'll read a few snatches here. The first point I have is unwavering courage and faith. And then underneath that point, I have facing giants. Of course, we right away think of the big giant, that the shepherd boy, had the courage to face the giant Goliath. Verse 41, 1 Samuel 17, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I want to look here at David as being a shepherd boy. He had the courage to face the giant, but not on his own strength. I believe he had faith in God's power. What does a shepherd boy mean? I believe that was his occupation. He was took care of sheep. So I would like to just look a little bit. I don't know if we have any shepherds here. Maybe some might take care of a few sheep, but what about a carpenter boy? What about an electrician boy, mechanic boy, farmer boy, an office boy, teacher boy, technician boy? You could take a teacher girl, office girl, helping mother's girl. We could, none of us are shepherds, but we are people that have giants that we have to face. What are some giants that you face? What are some giants that people face? I'd like to just look at that a little bit here. I named a few here: anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, guilt, depression, loneliness, anger, financial hardship, illness, relationship struggles. What about temptation? The constant pull of a temptation can be a destructive giant. Or maybe it's struggling to find meaning or purpose in life can be a big giant. Have the faith and courage like David. Let's face our giants. I'm sure it would have felt a lot safer and relaxing in the pasture taking care of the sheep with his instrument than trying to go in front of this big giant. Facing your giants requires active moving toward them, not avoiding them. Giants are joy killers. The giants in our lives will hinder us from going forward if not taken care of. It could be past hurts that were never resolved. maybe closer home too, could be a giant of always being grumpy or negative. The joy of the Lord needs to be your strength. Draw near to God and allow others to encourage you. Keep your focus on God's plan for your life. Ask God to give you guidance and confidence to get rid of your giants that are facing you. Now turn to Philippians. Going through quite a few references here. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Familiar verses here for us. Verse 6 and 7 say, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, saying there. Now turn to Proverbs 12, back in the Old Testament. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, verse 25. This is a good verse here. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Anxiety weighs down the heart, is what it's saying here, but a kind word cheers it up. Let's remember that. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. I believe worry will destroy our lives. There's so much truth in God's word. Let's read God's word. Don't believe the devil's lies. The second point I have, number two, is confidence in God. See if we can learn from David here in this. Back to 1 Samuel again. 1 Samuel 17. I will read a few verses here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came to draw nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." I'll stop there for now. Confidence in God, I like what he has here in 47. "For the battle is the Lord's." I believe David knew that God had this before he ever started. The battle is the Lord's. He knew that God would provide the victory. And I believe that gave him confidence, that gave him the inspiration for the next battle. When you're facing a battle, a giant, like I said earlier, it could be anxiety, fear, worry, loneliness, anger, temptation. When we're facing those battles, those giants, we all need to make a choice, because we know that God already has this. Loneliness, he said, he'll be with us. And maybe it's impure thoughts. Then we can remember those verses in I want to read 1 Corinthians. Should have wrote some of these verses down, but 1 Corinthians 10. Very common verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. When we're tempted to be impure, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. The third point I have is wholehearted devotion to God. And we see that in David's life. Now turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 1 to 5. These are things that we can learn from King David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Tend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. See there, David was, a friend had betrayed him, and he was in sore pain. And not just here, but different places where he was hunted down like an animal. David was from King Saul, was jealous of him. Verse 6 there, it says he wants to fly away and rest. So what can we learn here from David? We see David had a heart for God. And in 1 Samuel 13, I'd like to read a verse there. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Let me read verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. That was Samuel telling Saul that he done foolishly. And then verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over the people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. We see David had a heart after God. Now I'd like to read in Psalm, there's a few verses in the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 34 says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. How can we be inspired by David here? We see he had a heart after God. And verse 127 there, he loved the commandments. He loved God and, you could say, the brotherhood more than he liked his gold, the money. Can we praise God in all circumstances? I believe we can. David here, he was going through a lot of circumstances, you say bad circumstances, and we see he praised God. When you're having a down day, can you worship and praise the Lord? When you think everything is going in reverse, can you praise the Lord? Because we know it's not all going bad. Sometimes when we have those thoughts, most times we are not telling ourselves the truth. It feels like we're having a bad day. I came across this saying, it said, every problem in your life is either, there's three things. Every problem in your life is either a decision you made, a decision you're avoiding, a boundary you won't set. I thought that was good. Every problem in your life is either a decision you made, a decision you're avoiding, or a boundary you won't set. Number four, fourth point, is acknowledge sin and seeking. Number one, the first point under that is repentance. And y'all remember the story of David, and he had Uriah killed so he could have his wife, Bathsheba. He committed adultery. Maybe we could say that, wow, we would never do that. But remember, he that thinketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery in his heart. So in God's eyes, there is no difference. When we are selfish and focus on ourselves and our feelings, sometimes we really do crazy things or stupid things, things that we normally wouldn't do. We see David repented and acknowledged his faults and sought forgiveness. Now turn to Psalm 51. It's a real common psalm of David. I would like to read this chapter here, 19 verses. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shalt thou they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We see David recognized his own hidden faults. I believe here David wanted to be transparent. Now turn to Psalm 139. A few more verses here yet in closing. Psalm 139, verse 12. I'll read verses 12 to 18. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. See, there's nothing here in that verse there. We see how transparent he wanted to be, because God sees in the dark. There's nothing that we can hide. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reign. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book of all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now verse 23 and 24, in the same chapter that I want to read that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. That means ransack me. To search thoroughly. Nothing hidden. And David understood that. He knew that he did things that he thought was in secret, but he knew that God sees everything. The last point I have here in number 5 is God's plan and purpose. I think David knew he was called by God for a special purpose. He was anointed at age 17 years old, but he was not made king till 30 years old. I think David knew that he had a specific purpose in life. Looking at David's life story, also your life story, God has a plan and can use even imperfect people to achieve his will. Let's all turn to 2 Chronicles. I want to all read this verse together. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Are we all ready? Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.